Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. The time is now 6:03 p.m. on the East Coast, 3:03 on the West Coast. Today is the 29th of May, 2021, and welcome to the TMGS. It's the Michael Gay Show on this holiday weekend. Holiday weekend. And people are out there, y'all. They are out there. I was looking at the news, and they're showing, oh, man, the beaches are packed, and people are flying, going everywhere. It's as though the pandemic is over. Okay. We'll see. I know I ain't getting out there. But again, welcome to the show. And today we have some pretty interesting topics in the first hour. And then the second hour, we're just going to do open forum. You know, anything you want to come up with or talk about. And today is our 50th broadcast. 50th show, so congratulations to each and every one of you. Thank you for getting us to that point. I'm going to open up the mic. This looks like the one and only Mr. Bernie Jones. What's up, B-Man? How you doing? And happy Saturday.
Hey, happy Saturday to you, too, and everybody out there. 50 shows since we left the J.K. Network. Wow, that's great. And you know what, Mike, I was out there earlier. I had to go to the store. And, yeah, people are out. I've been seeing little graduation parties, little carnivals that people are throwing. And it's really been, I'm like, wow. Pandemic is still around, folks. Don't get it twisted.
Right.
Just because we have a governor that lifts masks, you know, sanctions or whatever. Don't think it ain't here. And I had to travel last weekend to Chicago for my daughter's wedding. I had to give her away and everything like that. That was a an experience. Let me tell you something. I had on my mask. I had on a shield. Because I had to go to the airport. I had to go to the rent-a-car place. And I had to go to the hotel. I'm telling you, it was an experience. I'll put it that way.
Well, I could imagine. You had the mask and the shield.
I did.
I don't blame you. Yeah, I got to open up some more mics, but I want to come back to that and ask everybody. I know there's quite a few who have gotten their shots that are on the line. And question is, even though you got shot, do you still wear your mask? I know a lot of folks who do, but I'm just curious. Do you still feel comfortable or do you not feel comfortable without the mask that you've been wearing for so long? Just open up the mic to the lady of the house, Janet Davis. How you doing? Happy Saturday.
Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy, happy, happy.
Happy, 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 happy anniversary. Happy, 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 happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Happy
anniversary.
You got me going, man. Yeah, that's
something. 50.
Yes.
50
happy anniversary to everybody. Yes, yes, we made it to 50. Man, it don't seem like it's been that many. It really
wow.
does. It don't feel like it's been this many. But overall, Janet, how many shows did we say that we've done though, since we've been broadcasting? Well over 350 or something?
No, way more than that.
You think about 400 shows?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow. That's something. So let's see. Wow, 400 Saturdays. That's something. Open up another mic. The law's in the house. Officer Crenshaw, what's up, my brother?
Hey, hey, hey.
Crenshaw.
What's happening?
Hey, hey, hey. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, I'm going back to the 70s. Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey.
I can't top Janet. I can't top that at all. That was it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And the thing was, she had me bouncing in my chair while she was singing.
Mm-hmm. She had me join in. She was sounding so good.
Yeah, no, Bernie topped it off. Got tickled, couldn't finish it.
Mm-mm-mm.
How's everybody? Yep. How's everybody?
Good, how are you?
There we go.
Well, I had to open up another mic here. Timon Chip in California. What's up, Timon?
Hey,
what's
Timon.
Going on, my people? My people, my
Timon.
People, my people. What's Timon. Going on? Another day, you know, another great day in paradise, homeboy.
I know that's right. I know that's
just
right.
Just call Timon Rooftop. He know what you're talking about.
Yeah, let's call me that.
Yeah, RT. What's up, RT? Y'all got to get the book. You got to get the book.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you. You got to get the book.
Yeah.
What's happening in LA?
How are you guys?
Is it wide open now? Is it wide open?
What? What's that?
In L.A.
California?
Yeah, wide open.
That's going to happen June 15th. He's going to open up the state.
Well, I saw the news. They're at Santa Monica Beach. There's a lot of folks down at the beach, though, today.
Oh, yeah, there's the beach. I'm talking about as far as opening up all businesses where you do not have to wear a mask and all that are vaccinated. They told the building to open up 100%. Stadiums, everything. They just want to show proof because, you know, we got to get rid of the idiots who are saying that still won't take, you know, won't get the vaccine.
Right.
So, I tell y'all a quick story. A friend of mine called me up and said, "Hey, Chip." I said, "What up, man?" He said, "Man, you know, bruh, I almost died." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, I had the COVID." I said, "You had COVID?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Did you go to the doctor?" No, no. Did you call your doctor? No, no. I said, how did you know you got COVID? Nigga, I know COVID. I know COVID. Like, man, he said it just like that. I know COVID. So I said, well, you know, times have passed and everything. We in May, bruh. Did you go get the vaccine? Oh, no, man, I ain't messing with that vaccine, bruh. He said, I already had it, so, you know, I don't really, you know, you don't really need that. Oh, but you a scientist now, right? So he asked me, did you get the vaccine? I said, hell yeah, fool. Oh, man. Had you had COVID? I said, yes, I did have COVID. I was asymptomatic. I said, just because you had it, man, but then I had to catch myself and said, don't have that argument. You know, hang on to the friendship. Don't have that argument. And I showed up alone. I did. I said, because they ain't going to hear you. It's not going to matter. They're not going to hear you. You know, so that's my one crazy story I've had.
That's crazy because he actually said, oh, I know COVID.
Yeah, I know
COVID. I didn't want to put the N-word on there, but that's what he said.
That's what he
said. Just like that.
You can put a sequel to your book and add that because that was a good one.
You sure can.
I know.
I don't know what we're going to do with them, y'all.
Well, now, for everyone, I mean, okay, well, now that you got the shot, do you still wear the mask and go out?
I just left the grocery store. And then you got to wear, in California, you got to wear your mask in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I do wear my, to answer your question, yes, I do.
And so do I.
As a matter of fact, at my job, you're going to have to wear, even though I work in probation, you go into them buildings, the sign
mm-hmm.
says you got to have a mask on.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, because of the behavior of society, this is really all about behavior. And if people mm-hmm. would have changed their behavior from the very beginning, we wouldn't have to deal with this. But this is how they are. And that's
right.
White
yeah.
and black. It ain't
yeah.
even,
yeah.
a color thing because they're all doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And
you
let's not talk about the beginning because you know that idiot, he didn't let us know what was going on, and we could have, you know, curbed it from, you know, from the start.
From the beginning. Mm-hmm.
But guess what?
Yeah.
But guess what? He got his vaccine behind closed
exactly.
doors.
Yeah.
And he got, wait a minute, and he got the cocktail because he almost
right.
died. Trump had
mm-hmm.
pneumonia.
Yeah.
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 And they didn't want to tell it. And that's the part that really bothers me is that here's a man, we would have given you credit for pushing to get the vaccine done quickly.
Thank
but
you.
Then even after you did it, here you didn't want to tell people you got the vaccine. Your followers won't go get the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
But yet y'all talking about, oh, they taking my freedom by making me wear a mask.
And I actually think Trump had the virus when he had one of the debates with Biden. He was trying his best to get somebody. I really believe
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't be surprised, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, like I said, now here in Georgia, the governor is going to, he's opening up, he's going to make it now where no mask at schools, I believe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, that should be an option. That should be an option. And then you look at it, there's, what is it, kids under 12 that don't have the vaccine. They're not giving them the vaccine. So, what do you do about that? You know,
because they have a very low percentage of them that have gotten it. But by mm-hmm. the end of the year, they plan to have a vaccine for them.
Right.
So going into mm-hmm. 2022, they plan to have a vaccine for them. They just don't have one now. But anybody and above, the fact that I gotta put together an incentive to get you to do something to take care of your fellow man. So what happened to humanity? What happened to morals and values and looking out for each other? But yet you're saying that this, you know, I'm not going to do it. And that's, and the thing is, I don't care who you talk to. You can go into the, they say, well, you know, the disadvantage. They won't take the vaccine. You can go into the hood and into a lot of these areas, and they say, oh, no, I ain't messing with that. I ain't doing that. They ain't going to kill me. They ain't going to make me sterile.
I'm amazed at the amount of people on Facebook who say that they're putting some kind of microchips in your arm instead of giving you an actual shot. You know, people actually believe that. And so they afraid to go get the shot because they think somebody's going to be micromanaging them.
Right.
I'm kind of laughing at the fact when you said that, when folks say they're going to make me sterile. I'll be like, man, you 65 years old. What you worried about being sterile?
Yeah, you know
the insaneness of our society.
A lot of people they believe that if you get it, you don't have to worry about anything. But you can still catch COVID with it. It is to help protect, you know, your fellow man, like Timon said before. It ain't all about just, you know, protecting yourself. It's about protecting others. And with the vaccination, it's supposed to lessen your chances if you've never gotten it of getting it. But if you've had it, you're still supposed to get it. Get the vaccination. You're still supposed to get it. You know, I don't think people that whoever that was who said, "Well, I had COVID, so I don't need it." That's not true.
And that's the ignorance. That is the ignorance and arrogance of our society. And somebody said, "Oh, Ty, you know, we should put it on the honor system." Man's nature is bad. And you got capitalism, and they call this socialism. Because people say, we don't want no socialism. Well, you can't have capitalism without socialism. Socialism and capitalism go together. Half of the companies today would not have, their businesses would have never got off the ground if they didn't get government loans.
Right.
You didn't have some type of government paying for what you have. And here we're trying to take care of our people, but the people, I don't trust government. I want less government. So when we give you less government, and the companies take advantage of you, now you have a problem. Okay, because now you want to, so then you say, now they're going to start regulating. Well, if we didn't have regulation, we couldn't protect the consumer. That's why you got to have regulation. That's why the Democrats come in and start regulating, because the Republicans don't want regulation, and this is where they take advantage of the American worker, of the American consumer, and screw him over, and then we got to come up and clean the house. And all
that's
those
right.
that didn't get there.
I was telling my wife that today. I was telling her that very thing today. That's why I'm not politically affiliated, because you have the Republicans who don't want you to have nothing. Then you have the Democrats who say they want you to have something, but they find it hard to step to the plate when it's time for them to, you know, flex, you know, well, we running things now. We got the House and almost the Senate, so we running things. Well, act like it. Flex it. Do it.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Don't just say, well, we – no, you flex it. Do it. I don't see that in that party, you know. I don't know.
They always want to bring along the other party, but the other party, no matter what, is not going
to
vote.
They don't care about them, exactly.
No.
they don't care.
McConnell
said, you know, we have
our main goal is to not make sure we don't have the majority next time around.
Well, now, we do have an itinerary of topics that we're going to get to, but I want to hold off on those for a moment, because since we're speaking of the parties, as you guys know, they voted against January 6th of the commission. I mean, that is just a slap in the face. That is totally a slap in the face. But we all know why that is so, right? Because it's a total about face when you look at what Mitch McConnell said, what, you know, all these Republicans said shortly after that, January 6th, that folks need to be held accountable. But all of a sudden they're like, nah, we don't need to. We don't need to look into it. We looked into Benghazi seven times, but we don't need to, you know, we don't need to look into what happened right here.
Because a lot of them are dirty, and they don't want the truth to come out. Somebody gave tours before the actual insurrection, and I know they don't want any of that to come out.
And
well,
then
you
looking at
coming up too. I already believe, because you know, everybody knows. It's like follow the yellow brick road. It's going to lead to the wizard. The orange
Amen.
Man is the wizard. And the wizard is the one who set up the whole thing. Him
mm-hmm.
and his boy, Rudy Giuliani.
Amen.
And,
mm-hmm.
and all of them who signed on, when they signed to not certify the election, when they put their names down, they were all involved. And if you go
mm-hmm.
down the line and do your, and as I said to a friend of mine, today on another podcast, it said the investigation is not over. And they
right.
need to keep the insurrection in the Republican face for the next 3 years, 4 years, this year and the next three after that. Do not allow them to forget they did. Because
That's
when you
right.
do that, it will really expose, you know, what they did. Even after that woman went down there, whose son got killed, one of the cops, whose son got killed. She went to all of them. They told her, oh, no. Some of them wouldn't even talk to her.
Right.
Oh, no, we ain't, you know, we ain't supporting that. No, we need to take her. They know. I'm telling you.
No,
they
that
know.
Was a regular tour. It wasn't an insurrection. People were just bringing a friendly tour.
Yeah, that's what Clyde said. That's what Andy Clyde said. It was. You would think it was just a regular tour.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look at the pictures, you see him. But here's the thing: if you look at the photographs, you see him helping to barricade the door, and you see him standing and hiding behind a cop. And these people are buying this. It's as Mike Tyson would say, it's ludicrous.
Yeah. So they need to know
that Trump
what's coming their way.
Into the background, he's able to do a little bit more dictating as far as what he want and what he don't want and who life he's going to destroy if they still don't support him with his little black book.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why
right.
they're jumping out the way they are now.
That's
mm-hmm.
right.
It seems like everybody got something on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and
I'm right. Don't it seem like everybody got something on somebody? The Russians got something on
right.
Trump got something on this person. This person got something on that person. And then Mitch McConnell, which was the dumbest thing he can say, because that's what really makes you wonder, do me a little favor. You heard him say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Telling the other senators, do me a little favor. No, basically what he's saying, do Donald Trump a favor. Is what he's
right,
saying.
Right. Yeah, that's how they're trying to that's his way of saying, I didn't say that. All I was saying was blah, blah, blah. I didn't say that. And so that's why they're really setting the investigation up. I'm telling you, it's all going to get tied together. All of them. They're not even getting them. They're going to get them in Washington. They get them in Georgia. They get them all these different states. And these
That's
people
right.
still believe. Do you know that 25% of Americans still believe that the election was stolen?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Can you believe
yeah.
that? They really believe that this man was. I can't believe it.
Well, Trump said if he tells a lie enough, people will eventually believe it. That's why he got over with the birtherism for Barack Obama. You know, people started really believing that he was not a citizen.
Janet,
you know?
You remember the conversation on 60 Minutes when he was on there and homegirl said, I know your game. You told me that. What you just said is what she told him. You said that. That if I,
yeah.
I don't remember saying that. She said, I remember interviewing you, and you said, if I say something negative enough, eventually they're going to believe it.
Yeah, I remember
that. What his
that.
Plan was. And
yeah.
she called him on that. She said, I know what you did.
Yeah.
She said, I know what you did and what you said. This dude, I'm telling you, if they do not get rid of this man, he is going to destroy this country.
That's right.
His whole deal is he will take them down. He's got to go. They got to convict him in some kind of way. I don't care if he even just got 5 years or whatever. He got to go to jail. They got to see
right.
what's going on. Because if they don't, we're screwed.
That's right. Or somebody that's smarter than him is going to come along, and this time they'll be able to get over on making destroying our democracy.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I was listening to Obama's book. I've been doing the audio on Obama's new book. And let
mm-hmm.
me tell you, what they did to go after him and what, you know, and the whole, you know, how they were talking about, you know, dealing with, what's her name, Michelle, and what Michelle had to put up with. Oh, my
yeah.
God. He said, I apologize to my wife all the time
yeah.
of what
they
took her through.
They even said Michelle was a transvestite, a tranny.
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah, I
yeah.
remember that.
Mm-hmm. Or transgender. I mean, they, you know, they were even showing pictures on YouTube where she's supposed to have something in the front of her, like a man private part, you know, while she was dancing. I mean, they were doing all kinds of crazy things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's just amazing. And here it is. She did everything, you know, blue collar, come from a blue collar family, went to
yeah.
college, kicked everybody. But she was actually smarter than Barack.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was smarter than he was.
Yeah.
And they didn't do no good. They embraced Melania better than they embraced Michelle.
And Melania couldn't even speak English.
Nope. And her family came here illegally.
That's right. And she, on national TV, plagiarism, because she stole Michelle's speech.
Yes.
But it was okay because it was Trump's wife.
Yeah,
yeah.
Some of our, look at our beautiful first lady. Please. I mean, Obama
she's
talked
so
about how hard it was. I mean, I didn't know they was that damn dumb, but apparently they are. I'm telling you, you know. And you saw Texas just let them know that, oh, it's okay. Anybody can go get a gun now.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody can go get a gun. You can buy a gun
yes,
anywhere you want. Can't believe it. Yeah, you know,
I'm listening. It's sad, as I said, because you look at this guy's not in the White House anymore, and as we went over, and he's directing everything. And then look at this. What's her name? Green.
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Oh, the comment she made about the Holocaust, and they're forgiving her. It took them
yeah.
5 to 6 days to actually say something about it.
Right.
It took them 5 to 6 days to say something about her comment. Why did it take so long?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And I just saw on the news where they talked to, they went to Rome, Georgia, which for you guys who don't know, Rome is way up, you know, it's north of Atlanta. I worked up there a couple
yeah.
times. And they went there, and some people who voted for her said that they wouldn't vote for her again, that she crossed the line. But there are some folks they talked to, some fools said, well, you know, I understand why she said it. I'm like, what do you understand about it?
Well, the
guy kept asking.
This district she came from had been gerrymandered, and so that's why she had an overwhelming far as getting
turnout.
Her elected in. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, but I think if they can redraw those districts, she'll be out of a job, if you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's trouble. She's definitely trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Her and Gates, they're both trouble. And they're on a tour basically being Donald Trump's mouthpiece.
Yeah.
And got large crowds, and people are like, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, my God, are y'all really that damn stupid?
Mm-hmm.
I said, man, we in trouble. You know, I didn't say all. I mean, I'm not going to say all white folks, but, hey, it's just, you know, you got too many that believe that junk.
Mm-hmm.
And, hey, and you can also blame Zuckerberg for the crap that he did because he allowed those lies to go on because he made money off those people. He made long money off of them. Him
yeah.
and whoever his CEO is, they made big money letting those people spread those lies, letting Trump put that crap out for
mm-hmm.
so long and didn't stop. And I blame Twitter, too, because Twitter allowed
yeah.
them. Oh, it's our First Amendment right. I'm tired about hearing about y'all so-called rights. As I said, the problem I have with man is that his nature is bad. And
that's
that is
right.
the reason why we've had all these issues. We've never been able to stop racism. We don't have because as long as you sell in fear. I mean, Hitler himself said that he learned how to do what he did from watching America, from watching what America did. That's how he learned how to control and take over Germany, and he almost took over the whole world. That's how he got those people to do what he did. Yeah, it came from watching what the Americans did to black people.
Mm-hmm. And what makes it so bad, we're supposed to just walk away and forget about the things that happened. Even if it was our ancestors, we're still paying the price today for the things that they did. Far as segregation and stuff, and
speaking of that, I think that's why they're bringing up Black Wall Street.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. Well, speaking of that, because you know, Monday, CNN is going to broadcast a special called Dreamland, the burning of Black Wall Street, produced by LeBron James and I forgot the other gentleman's name.
Westbrook.
And Westbrook did the one that's on the History Channel. There's actually two of them. There's one that's coming on CNN, and there's one that's on the History Channel. There's actually two.
One that's coming on CNN. The lady, I was looking today. The lady,
mm-hmm.
I think she's a granddaughter of a lady that went through that actual experience. And I don't think, from what they were saying, I don't think she ever got a chance to speak to her, to see her grandmother or anything like that. So all she has is pictures. She said her grandmother used to walk like 15 miles. And what she does every year is she walk a mile just to say she walked in her shoes.
And you know I think there's only three survivors. There's three survivors, I believe. And one of them went to Capitol Hill and spoke in front of Congress. And, they were like, no, well, thank you. Say that again?
Wasn't she over 100 years old?
I believe so.
Yes, all of them are.
Mm-hmm.
Her
yeah.
brother, too.
Yeah, because it was 100 years ago. It was right about 100 years ago.
Yeah. What I was going to say, Mike, is that when people say that, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps and all this old stuff here, you know, if you just go from 1876 all the way into how many different adjustments that black people had to make, all trying to assimilate like white people. Trying to
right.
have our own. How much of that were they trying to do the right thing? And white people wouldn't let them do it. They kept burning down their businesses. We went and fought for our country. Brothers came home in their uniforms. They lynched them in their uniform. They were lynching brothers at 1 to 3 a week. They were, and it was nothing for them to get lynched.
Right.
Whether you own, I mean, it's just starting your own businesses. I mean, just selling to them, having your own school. And then we took it on deeper into the 50s, and you had Jim Crow, and okay, you go fight in World War II and the Korean War, and you come back, and you still can't get the GI Bill? You still
right.
can't go to a predominantly white college or get the right education? You can't get any of this stuff. And by the time they even amended it, white folks were ahead 171,000 to 17,000.
Oh, yeah. And you know, speaking of that, this stuff with the Asian people being mistreated, now all of a sudden you're trying to pass all these bills about Asian hate and let's do something to protect the Asian people when they didn't do crap to protect us. I mean, we still feeling it, but now since all this Asian stuff is happening, oh, we got to do something about it. We need to do something about this. And I'm not trying to, I'm just saying, ain't nobody never said nothing. We had to do everything ourselves. Nobody wanted to help us. Period.
No.
And nobody's going to help us, Bernie, except us.
But you do know that it was J. Edgar Hoover that said, we cannot allow black unity.
Right.
You can't let black folks
right.
come together.
Right.
They're the most dangerous group of people ever.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Asians yeah. were accepted when they came over.
Right.
They were accepted. They and even today, they're given the opportunities that we're not. They're given money to start businesses.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That's my point. That's the point.
Now, you remember, and Janet, you remember this. You remember Blockbusting, where they
yeah.
would go
yeah.
into the white neighborhood and tell them that the black folks are coming?
Yeah.
And the white folks would sell their house, and then the people would turn around and sell the house to the black folks, that same house to the black person, and then would jack the price up on the house and charge them a higher interest rate.
Right.
That's how white right. flight got started.
Right.
So they were automatically demonizing black people from the jump. That's not Compton. That's how black people came to be in Compton, California.
Yeah.
Because they told them that the black man is coming. They made you sign covenants that you could not allow black people to move into white suburbs. But people say, well, that's not like that no more, Ship. You ain't got to worry about that. Horseshit. It's already
yes,
dead.
It
is done.
Yes, it is. Ain't nothing changed.
Right.
Nothing has changed. It's still the same. That's what's so frustrating. Organizations, the best organizations that we had, and I'm going to tell you, people talk about the Nation of Islam. They can talk about it all day long. They can talk about the Black Panthers all day long. They can talk about them two. Those two organizations did more for black men. Let me just talk about us for a minute. To raise our self-esteem. I don't care what nobody say. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad was taking black men away from all the drugs they were doing, the liquor and everything, and turning them into credible men. Even though, like people say, well, it may have been, got a little out of hand later on, but in the beginning, come on. Y'all got to admit, that was one of the best organizations that turned a black man's life around.
Right.
It really was. And
I believe it.
It's just, Hoover did the Black Panthers in, though, because they were really, they were about the people for the people. It's us I'm talking about, right? For black people. School programs, lunch programs, come on. What's so dangerous about
What? It's just like right now when they Trump is always trying to throw Antifa in there saying that that's a real bad organization, but it really isn't. But they're giving people the impression that it is. That's the same as the Black Panthers,
Yeah, it was tragic.
Well, and people will fight. They said they will fight. I mean, come on now. They don't mind fighting. Because they actually spoke to a couple of them. I saw an interview with a couple of them on, who was it that was talking to them? Oh, what's his name? Bell. Bell comes on CNN. He has one show, United Shades of America. Yeah. He talked to a few of them. One of them,
who
wasn't afraid
to What's that? Somebody explain
now,
that to me.
As a black man, you can fight back without fear of retribution against you for the color of your skin.
Right.
You know,
but
back
that was
then,
a long time
a black
coming.
Man, you couldn't fight back. You had to take a beating.
No. Nope. Exactly. Exactly.
And well, here's something I pulled up. Go ahead, Bernie.
Go ahead. I was just saying, and even now you can only fight back to a certain extent before something, you know, before they feel you too dangerous, you know, and then they still try to, you know, pull back or, you know, send somebody out there to, you know, to take care of you. And I don't know. It's to me, nothing too much has changed. It's just that the time is just, it's going by. It's going by.
Well,
and if you don't be careful, you're going to sleep through a revolution.
That's part of the itinerary that Mike has set for today,
mm-hmm.
where you can fight back if you know what you can and cannot do.
If
you know your rights and different things of that nature.
Let me go into this real quick because, that's part of the itinerary because that's a topic I want to talk about as far as what you can and cannot do regarding recording the police, recording certain areas of town, whether you have to give your ID or not. Now, I know it varies from state to state, but let me go into this here since we're talking about Black Wall Street. Just this little piece here about the Greenwood, Tulsa area. It says Greenwood is a historic freedom colony in Tulsa, Oklahoma, as one of the most prominent concentrations of African-American businesses and in the United States during the early 20th century. It was popularly known as America's Black Wall Street. It was burned to the ground in the Tulsa Race Massacre. Now, it's not race or it's not a riot or anything like that. It's the Race Massacre of 1921, in which white residents massacred as many as 300 black residents, injuring hundreds more and leaving 5,000 people homeless. The massacre was one of the most devastating massacres in the history of the United States. Race relations destroying the once thriving Greenwood community. Within 10 years after the massacre, surviving residents who chose to remain in Tulsa rebuilt much of the district. They accomplished this despite the opposition of many white Tulsa political and business leaders and punitive rezoning laws enacted to prevent reconstruction. See, that goes back to what Tymon said. It continued as a vital black community until segregation was overturned by the federal government during the 1950s and 60s. Desegregation encouraged black citizens to live and shop elsewhere in the city, causing Greenwood to lose much of its original vitality. Since then, city leaders have attempted to encourage other economic development activities nearby. 300 black residents.
Well, they're doing excavation right now. Mike, they're doing excavation right now over that area to find the bodies because the University of Oklahoma is to find those bodies so they can get people back because they just basically built a giant hole and put them all in there.
If I'm not mistaken, and I could be, but the massacre occurred or originated based off the fact that I think a white woman said that a black man was trying to follow her onto the elevator.
No, he was an elevator worker, and apparently he bumped into her on the elevator. Something happened. They don't know exactly, but they thought that he had fallen, and she said that he attacked her, and they went. They were just looking. To me, they were looking to just burn it down anyway. They were looking.
Right.
And so when they found out, so when the boy got arrested, okay, and the white dudes found out, they said, oh, we're going into Greenwood, and the brothers who were from World War One told, oh, hell no, you're not. You ain't coming in our town, and you're going to lynch somebody. And they said, okay, well, hey, well, we're going to do it. And somebody fired a gun off, and there it went. Somebody fired a gun, and next, you know, they start shooting. But the crazy part is that the National Guard helped them bomb the city. The sheriff and the National Guard and the regular, they all were involved in it. They hated those people. We have always known that economic jealousy is behind every uprising that has ever happened between white and black. There's a map that from 1919, it shows all the different states that had black-on-white crime, black-on-white uprisings where they were fighting, and the majority of them were over economic jealousy because black folks were making advances and it scared the hell out of white people. That's why they did it. And this is the discussions you're not going to be able to have.
Mm-mm.
They're not going to have them talk. But
here's a piece of article I found on that. Dick Rowland, believed to be 19 years old at the time, was in an elevator in a downtown building with Farrah Page, who was 17. So that's the situation, and says that he opens the door, I guess, and he gets in, seems to have stumbled on the walkway, and grabs her hand. She screams. Maybe hit him in response to, this is somebody quoting, and I don't know how they wrote this out, but you're on me or whatever. Someone hears this in the Rittenberg building, so they hear this, and this is reported as an attack. And so this creates the narrative going through the community that a black man has attacked a white woman. So that's that part of the story.
Which is how they killed and lynched most blacks. Is because they kept saying the white woman is essential. They did this to a white woman. This was done to a white woman. Raped a white woman. Rape. Or he touched a white woman. Or he blew a kiss at her. They always kept saying that the black man was coming to get their women. But like they told them in Wilmington, North Carolina, they said, hey, man, listen, we ain't got to go get them. They come to us anyway. Because at that time, there were prominent blacks in Wilmington, North Carolina before they put together a militia to overthrow the government and get all the white people out. I mean, get all the black folks out of the town.
Wow.
Which is just like with Emmett Till, that's the same thing. He would let a white
same folks. Very same thing.
So that should be pretty interesting. I'm going to definitely watch that on Monday.
And it just gives you, as I was saying to my white friends today on a podcast, I said, you know, we've tried. I said, when white dudes say, Ty, I want to talk to you about this whole Black Lives Matter. I said, no, you don't. It's like a guy asked me about, talking about affirmative action. I said, only if we can discuss history. Because that's, if you can't discuss history, why are you talking about it? Because the history exposes on why it was ever even created. You didn't even need it. We black folks didn't create racism. We didn't go after white people. But, you know, that you would make, if you saw a black child in a pool, you would drain the pool before you let white kids get in it and fill it back up. That's the type of ignorance that they've had to deal with.
Right. Wow.
And still dealing with it on a certain level, but it's not as strong as it was back then.
Well, but those people are still alive. Some of the people, I mean, when did Jim Crow end? Jim Crow ended in, what, 1964? I'm 56. And
yeah,
it's just that you had to enforce the laws, right? So even after you signed the Civil Rights Act, you signed the vote, you had to enforce it. And some places, like Mississippi, and they weren't enforcing those laws.
Mm-mm.
Did Jim Crow really end? Or did it end later?
Yeah.
Because if you look at the things that are going on today, it's kind of like it just took a back step for a minute.
You know what? There's a book called The New Jim Crow. I am going to get that book and read it. Since you mentioned that, I've seen that book. I said,
Bernie, before you get that book, it's another book you got to get because you need to fill yourself with laughter before you start crying.
Oh, boy.
So I want you to get the other book first. And it's called My East St. Louis.
I got to get Simon's book. Actually, you know what? I'm going to download
it. That's a good one, man. I was sitting there like, where are you going? I had my pencil and paper out, man. Like, I'm getting ready to write down this book. Go ahead, brother. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. That's wonderful.
Is it available on Amazon?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Then I will. I'm gonna get that today, and I'm gonna get the new Jim Crow. I'm gonna get both of them.
I'm gonna do what you said, Officer Crenshaw.
I'm gonna read Simon's book first, but I'm gonna dive head first into that new Jim Crow. I want to see what.
Hey, Officer Crenshaw, did you leave me a review?
Oh, I'm going to, believe me.
Yeah, leave me a review, man. That's great. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you so much. Yeah. Yeah. Hey, Byron, make sure you leave a review once you finish reading.
I will. I definitely will. I promise.
And I'll leave one, too.
Yes.
Since
and
I'm
why?
Lady on the phone.
Yes, I'm going to leave one because it's happy anniversary, happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, happy anniversary. Yeah. Michael Gates. Michael, you being awful quiet. Is he on the phone?
Oh, I'm sorry. I had myself on mute. I was listening. I was doing something here with the board, and so I muted myself. But I'm back. I'm back. I was trying to pull up something real quick.
I'm an investigator. So if you were doing something with the board, you never left. So you can't come back. So you might well tell us you went to go tinkle.
No, I didn't. I just had myself on mute. Now, I try to do that before the show. I don't tinkle. Okay, so, I want to go ahead and go to this subject now. Let me pull it up here. And I see I got a text message. Okay, that's not important, that message. One moment, you guys. I want to go to the topic of regarding where is it at? Okay, know your rights when the videotaping police or someone. I don't know if you guys watched this before, but I see it on Facebook. And there's these different groups. There's one called Lackluster, and there's different groups who go around and they test, but they call it an audit. And they'll go around with cameras and videotape and go into, you know, buildings. And, you know, in some cases, I think it's interesting because they're showing you, you know, that you do have rights. We can photograph a government building as long as you're not on the property. You could be on the sidewalk and take a picture of it. But, you know, after 9/11, everybody's a little leery. And then also after, you know, the bombing in where it was at that marathon,
Oklahoma.
You know, in Oklahoma, right. And so I've watched quite a few of these videos, and it's kind of interesting. Now, some people are total assholes, excuse me, but they are. I mean, they'll really get up in the cop's face, and, you know, I think, you know, you don't have to be that rude. But Officer Crenshaw, Have you ever had an experience where you've been on a call where someone was taking photographs or videotaping something and you guys had to be called out there because they seemed suspicious?
Yeah. You get a lot of them, especially like when the Olympics came here in 96. You know,
mm-hmm.
The only thing you could really do at that time was approach them and ask them, you know, why were they taking pictures? You get all their information, you write it down, and you send it up the chain. You know, like you said, some people will get belligerent, you know, just like if you're working a crime scene, they want to videotape it and everything. You still have to maintain your composure. You know, you can't let the videotape dictate your personality, your demeanor as an officer.
Okay.
But you got officers who take it personal, thinking that somebody's trying to burn them. And all you have to do is say, look, you can videotape all you want, but stay at least 5 feet back. You come 5 feet too close, then I'm going to have to ask you to step back. And if you refuse, then you're interfering with my investigation.
Mm-hmm.
You got to maintain a level head. You got officers who take that as a threat to their authority because somebody wants to videotape. You know, let
now,
them videotape.
Now,
I'm going to go out in Atlanta,
but in some states, okay, like I saw in the one video where the officer comes out and, you know, he tells the guy, hey, you know, you can't do this. He said, yes, I can. I'm standing on the sidewalk. This is the public right away. And so he asked him for his ID. He said, am I being detained? He said, well, now you are. He said, "And what crime have I committed? For the city of Atlanta now, can an officer ask for your ID if you haven't committed a crime?
Well, it's complicated. If that officer just approached you and hasn't received any information pertaining to you, no. But if a call came in through 911 saying, hey, there's a guy taking pictures of the building, you know, we just had a bombing or whatever, we don't know what he's doing, that gives that officer probable cause to approach, to investigate. You say, well, what law am I breaking up? Pictures, well, you're really not breaking a law. I got a call about somebody suspicious. Do you have any ID on you? Well, I'm not showing you my ID.
Mm-hmm.
If you turn and walk away, then he's done what you wanted him to do, which was leave. You, as the officer, you write up a brief description of him, you know, that he refused to give you your ID. He got in this type of car with this tag, or he was wearing this or that. You send it up the chain. You let Homeland Security or whoever else is going to deal with it from that point. You do your job. You don't get offended and say, well, now you're being detained, because when you first approach somebody, you're detaining them.
Mm-hmm.
When you stop them from doing whatever they were normally doing, you're detaining them. But you have to have probable cause to detain them, or else you can in turn turn around and be charged yourself. If you just approach somebody and you want to hold them and question them.
Interesting. You know, it was crazy because I saw a video just yesterday where a gentleman was walking down the street and he said he was walking from his friend's house. Now, here's the crazy thing. They asked him, what is his name? And one of his ID, he said, no, I don't have to give you my ID. He said, I'm going home. He said, well, what are you stopping me for? And the officer says, well, number one, you're in a area that's a high crime area, a lot of prostitution. He says, what does that got to do with me? He says, sir, I just need your name. And he tells him, my name is something E. Smith. Well, the trainee officer took the name down wrong. He put down Eastman instead of E. Smith. He said his, you know, he said his middle initial. And asked for his Social Security number, he gave him that. And they ran the name and social number. He said, Mr. Eastman, why did you give me the wrong name? And the guy seemed like he was a little intoxicated. He said, well, see, that's what I'm talking about. He said, I gave you my information. And the other officer said, oh, so he gave the wrong name? And the trainee said, yeah. He said, that's it. Put your hands behind your back. And pulls out the taser. They tased this man.
Mm.
Because the training officer put in the wrong last name. And they arrest him. All right.
And he sued them afterwards, right?
Well, they fired the officer. Not the training, but they fired that officer, yeah. And, yes, they did sue.
Because, see, I used to have a guy, he was mental. We would approach him and ask him, you know, and we knew him, but we could never remember his name. Well, what's your name? Puttin' Tang. Ask me again, I'll tell you the same. Every time we got that call, that's what he would say to us, every time. You don't take it personal. You try to get him to do what you want him to do, which is leave the area, but them approaching that guy because it's high crime prostitution, like, what's that got to do with me? I'm going from point A to point B. You won't see me anymore. The laws have changed. If an officer doesn't have, he can't really approach you. If he just wants to socialize, then that's how he need to approach you. Hey, man, what's going on? Everything all right with you? You know, you good? Whatever he's going to say. But if you're sitting on a bench waiting on a bus, officer can't walk up to you and say, hey, what you doing? Why are you here? Why are you in this neighborhood? Mm-hmm. He has no right to. You can be wherever you want. This is supposed to be a free country. The laws changed before I retired because you had a guy that they approached at a bus stop that had a gun. He was a convicted felon. They knew he was a convicted felon. So they just approached him because they had a history of it. Found him with a gun, locked him up, went all the way to the Supreme Court, got overturned because they didn't have a right to approach him.
Wow.
Now, had they gotten a call from somebody on the bus or in that area saying, hey, it's a guy wearing this, wearing that. He's sitting at the bus stop. He keep pulling the gun out, pointing the gun at people and putting it back in. Then they got a reason to approach him.
Right.
But without that, before I retired, I used to have kids walking down the street, and I knew they were kids, 16, 17, 18, with guns on their hip in a holster. I ride by and wave at them. Hey, what's up? Man, that magazine you got sticking way out the back of your pack. I let them know I see they got a gun. But I ain't got no reason to stop them and approach them about it. You can be 35 and look 16. If you're not doing anything for me to draw suspicion to yourself pertaining to that gun, I ain't got no right to approach you. You know, you get stopped on a traffic stop.
You are a rare breed, Officer Crenshaw, I tell you that. It ain't like that now.
No, because we as people, and I know more rights because I was a cop. But before I became a cop, I didn't know jack. Officer stopped me. I went to shake it. I might pee on myself a little bit, you know. Now I know more, so I try to tell people more. You get stopped on a traffic stop. You know, all you have to do really is comply. Can I see your driver's license? Yeah, here you go. What did I do? Or you ran a stop sign. Okay. Or you can say, well, why do I need to show you my driver's license? If you say that, that's insulting to the officer. So now his demeanor is going to change. But if he's writing you a ticket for speeding and you gave him the driver's license for running a stop sign, oh, you got anything else in the car I need to know about? No, I don't. Do you mind if I search? Yes, I do mind. He can get an attitude all he wants. Oh, I smell weed. You mind stepping out the car? Sure, I'll step out. Going to administer a breath sobriety test to me? Pass it. Well, I think we need to check your car. I think you don't. I'm not giving you permission to check my vehicle. And just
go
ahead, Janet.
I'm sorry. Recently, I got stopped because I was on my way to pick somebody up to take them to the doctor's appointment. And I was at the light, and the phone rang, and I picked the phone up. And when the light changed, I put the phone back down. And I saw the police next to me, but I wouldn't think anything of it. And as soon as I went across the light, he put his flashers on. So I pulled in the parking area, and he asked me for my driver's license and stuff. But I had left my wallet at home.
Uh-oh.
I didn't have any ID on me, but he didn't give me a ticket. He just gave me a warning, and he told me because I said no, I missed. You know, I was really nice. I was in compliance, and I did not get a ticket or anything. You know, he just wanted to give me a warning about my phone. But I had the jack, the thing that you hold the holder, right there. But I picked it up because I was at the light, not because I was just on the phone talking.
And see, that's another thing, Janet. They want to stop you for a phone.
Yeah.
When the computers in the police cars, to me, that's texting and driving.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you got to type to sit in. Couldn't do it when I there, it would frustrate the crap out of me because I'm old. So trying to do something with one hand and drive, I just close the computer down and I pull over somewhere. But why would they stop you for a phone? They don't stop everybody for a phone, but they let people, and this is you, Janet, let people ride around with dogs in their lap.
Yeah.
That's more respecting than anything. Because
okay,
if you got to slam on your brakes real quick, what are you going to do? You're going to protect your child, whether it's an actual child or a pet.
Yeah,
that's true. Hey, by the way, in the chat room, Bringing It Boy has joined us. What's up, Bringing It Boy? It says, always a good idea to carry a 50 if a cop pulls you over.
Tell him
that might not
be
enough.
Now you're looking at a bribe.
In today's world, small bills work better because they're not identifiable.
Yeah, that 50 may not be enough. Yeah, you might have to have a couple of 20s and a 10, or maybe a 520. Have you ever had anyone try to bribe you, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I've had females try to bribe me. I've had males try to bribe me, sexual and money.
Well, that's not right. That's not right at all. That's not right. And I know that you're a man of the law, and you're going to try to take advantage of a man of the law? That's not right at all.
Just trying to tip somebody.
Yeah.
Trying to test your temptation.
See, the thing is, when that comes out like that, the antennas go up. Bing, bing. And the first thing in most officers' mind is, where's Internal Affairs? They around here somewhere. They're recording this. Because you feel like you automatically being set up, especially if it's never happened to you and the first time it happens to you. Now, some of the streetwalkers would do it constantly because you had officers that was out there messing with the streetwalkers. They would get off duty and come back and pick up a girl and take them where they want to take them to. You know, I ain't going to lie about it. I know it was happening because you hear the locker room stories later.
Mm-hmm. Mike, when the COVID thing started, right, and it was full burn and, you know, they were trying to tell everybody, I saw a girl on Sepulveda, right? And she was throwing it. And I saw a guy just pull up in his car in the parking lot where the CVS pharmacy was off Sepulveda. And he he blew his horn, and homegirl started making her way over there, and I, on my way as I was passing, I went, COVID-19, COVID-19, don't do it, boy, don't do it, don't do it, COVID-19. and she and the woman looked back at me, forget you. I was like, hey, don't do it, man. It ain't worth it. That little $50, hey, you talking about death? That's a death sentence over there. I don't care how good she looks. You do it.
Forget about everything
woman
else. COVID-19 got to take
you
out.
She called me a snitch.
Uh-oh. She's going to give you some stitches. Snitches.
All right. We need to learn more about what an officer can and cannot do when he's in front of us. But we also have to learn that if we don't want him to do certain things, then we don't need to do certain things as well. If we don't want him to snatch us out the damn car, then we don't need to talk back to him with an attitude.
Right.
Everything can be fought at a later date. You know,
right.
If he pull you over and he lock you up for the wrong reasons or whatever, fight it through court. Granted, we don't have any trust in the judicial system. But at least take it there, make it known so it's documented. That's how they're getting all these crooked officers now, because everything that they have done wrong is being documented.
Mm-hmm.
And they get to pull it all back up again.
Right.
You got people, I think it was, I don't know if it was a TV show I was watching or if it was the news. Somebody just spent 29 years in prison and got released.
It was on the news, yeah. I saw that.
Okay.
29 years.
And, you know, it had to do with the officers' cases through documentation as well as evidence coming up. He'll never get those 29 years back. Never. But if the officers locked him up in just, they're going to get theirs down the road as well. What goes around comes around.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe in that case, that's where they had evidence to prove that he was innocent, but they still wouldn't bring the case back. He could have been
and
out
that's
earlier.
That's where those officers, they might have left in great standing at the department or whatever. But once all the attorneys start jumping on all the cases that they've had and reviewing everything, that officer's name is Mud now. Every case he's had going to get reviewed.
Bring It Boy has popped up again and says, I made the mistake getting in a cop car. I guess he's saying he was taken to a crime scene where someone was stabbed, and I fit the description. Soon as we got there, the suspect was apprehended. The cop kicked me out of the car, and I had to walk back 3 miles. I was living in San Jose, and I didn't know the area very well.
He could have refused to get out. He could have said, I'm not getting out. You got to take me back where you picked me up from. And they would have did it because they didn't want the complaint to come through.
Well, Mike, you remember. You and Janet, remember I told y'all when I went to jail.
Mm-hmm.
And how they, and the dude that locked me up was a brother. And it was for an admission sticker ticket that was 5 years old. And said, Mr. Mm-hmm. Schiff, do you have any warrants out for your arrest? I said, not that I know of, but why don't we check? And this is at 6 o'clock in the morning. And he said, oh, Mr. Schiff, we show that you got warrants. I'm going to have to take you in. I said, well, man, ain't that ticket 5 years old? He said, yeah, but, you know, I got to do my duty, brother. Yeah. And it was a black man. Lock me up. And took me down there for a five-year-old ticket. And, you know, Officer Kunshaw, when they bring you in, you know, they make you turn all your clothes inside out and you know, and take the money and put everything and stuff. And that they did, they sat me down. And as I was sitting there waiting to be taken to a cell, as I told Mike, now, in walked Death. And Death was 6'6", 280 pounds, black as night with red eyes. And he had, it took 9 people to bring him in. The brother fist looked like brick. Big, nasty, rusty knuckle brother. And when they brought him in, they slammed him down. You sit your ass down there. They slammed him down and put him right next to me. And I melted just like one of them cartoons where you just slide on down. I just seemed like, why did you put death to me? I'm sorry, Lord. I'm sorry, apologize. I don't mean anything. And the brother stood up, right, to stretch his leg. And he was shackled in the front and shackled down at his feet. And the little white woman police officer came running. You sit your black ass down. You sit down. I'll tell you. And she's yelling and screaming at him. And the brother was calm as a cucumber. Just calm. He eased down. As he sat down, he took the front of the shackles and went, just a little more slack, and I'll snap your neck. It took 9 people to bring my ass in here. I said, why are y'all messing with him? What if he missed and hit me? Then I'm going to have brain damage. I don't want, this was one of them brothers that you need to leave him alone. You don't want me this brother on the street. Any cop that says, you have any, can I ask you? No, you can't. You're not even going to want to ask him a question. You're not even going to approach him. If I'm the police officer, I've seen a brother like that. You remember Tookie Williams?
Big,
bigger than Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember Tookie.
Was big like that. Unbelievable specimen. I had never seen him. And hey, he looked like death. That's all I could call him, was death.
Yeah.
But, hey,
in fact,
other than the booty bandit who they had over in Corcoran State Prison, that's the only other dude I know that was that type of size. And hey, they fed him steaks and potatoes. That's how they got him to take care of people. Them dudes, and he was a triple life. So I'm telling you, that's my only. I don't want to deal with, you know. When I talk to police officers, even though I work in law enforcement, I still give them their respect. You know, talk to them, whatever, you know. If I see them in a certain area, well, I even wave at them. You know, I say, hey, how you doing, officer, whatever, you know. I don't have that oh, they're coming to get us type of thing attitude, you know, when I talk to police officers. White or black, I don't care who it is. Hispanic, especially out here, you got a lot of Hispanic guys. You know, you would more want to work with law enforcement than not.
Well,
were
you
in California back in the 70s?
Who is that? Officer Crenshaw?
No, that's me.
That was Mike.
That's Mike.
Question.
Oh, no, not me. I was in I was in East St. Louis, Illinois.
Okay, in the 70s. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Now, the problem
Bernie? Is Bernie still on?
He's still on the board.
Uh-huh.
Oh, okay. I was just going to tell him that our police department in East St. Louis, Illinois, hey, shoot, they used to patrol the streets in their own cars. I don't know if you ever been pulled over by a Buick Deuce and a Quarter.
Sort of
if they
like
found
the
your stuff, they would sell it back to you.
Yeah, sort of like Chicago. They was the same way. We got stopped. We was going to Halstead shopping one time. It was me and my buddies. It was about six, at least 5 of us in the car. You know how you ride, 3 in the front, 2 in the back, 2 in the front, 3 in the back. And so car that was speeding behind us flashing their lights. And we was like, we told the driver, we was like, don't stop. So he was like, man, I'm stopping. That ain't nobody but Chicago PD. So he stopped. 2 brothers got out.
They were playing close Chicago PD, and they looked at what we bought and everything like that. They was looking us up and down. And then he said, "Well, why you stop us?" They said, "Well, the big guy who was driving fit the description of somebody who just robbed the bank." I'm like, no. After they see we didn't have anything of value, they went on about their business.
Yeah.
But they had the badges and everything. You know, when I used to live in Chicago, them guys wasn't no joke, man. But, you know, the brothers was cool, but the white officers, oh, my God. It ain't changed.
You know, it's funny you guys are talking about the cops driving their own cars. Over in Alabama, Birmingham area, but there's a little area of called, I think it's called Milton, but they got their own little,
yeah.
I mean, in this area, is it Milton? Yeah. I think Milton's like maybe a 6-block radius, right, for this little area. And I'll never forget, it blew me away. I'm riding down the road and I look and I see this BMW. I said, something's odd about this BMW. I got up on it, look. It had a police markings on it. I said, since when do police drive BMWs? And on the side back window, it had in little writing, it says, courtesy of your local drug dealer. They would compensate the drug dealers' cars and make them police cars.
Our former police chief did the same thing to a Mercedes.
Yeah.
His Eldrin Bear turned a confiscated Mercedes into his personal police car with the logos on it and everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least when you went to jail there, you know the style, huh?
Yep.
Wow. Okay,
you know, Simon, you were saying something about waving to the police. The problem is not the people waving to the police. It's the police waving back. The community policing will never come back because the officers feel like they have to be hard and not wave at you as they go past. Just respect. When you walk past somebody, you say, "Hey, what's up?" Whether you know them or not, how you doing?
Right.
And you keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Today, driving the cars feel like they don't have to speak unless they're on a call at your house.
Mm. Well, that's why they don't know how to de-escalate.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. They would ride down
like
the street and wave at the kids, you know, stop and talk to the elderly lady walking her dog or the young guy jogging and just say, "Hey, you know what? It's kind of hot. Here's a bottle of water, man. Be safe. Be careful." Things might work out a little bit better.
They've been trying to get us to do that, but you know, a lot of them just don't. It's like at work when you see certain staff, you know, talk to these young kids, you know, they don't have, they most of them grew up, like if I see a 26 or a 30-year-old today, his only connection to them is the Xbox. They don't know how to talk to nobody. They talk about life.
I watched an officer get the snot slapped out of him by a homeless man because he just didn't show him the respect. He didn't show him the respect. The man told him, said, "Don't touch me. I can get across the street on my own." He gonna try to drag him across the street. He slapped the snot out of him. Pow! And then put in a help call. Got there, the homeless guy sitting there on the curb. I told him he don't have to touch me.
That's crazy. Hey, real quick, Bring It Boy posted okay, well, we were talking about the phones. Yeah, 40 out of 50 states have laws against using your phone while driving, and yet cops can use their equipment to text. Well, yeah, they do it. They definitely do it all the time. So Hey, you guys, let's take a quick music break, and we're going to come right back. I see some numbers on the board. If you got a question or comment, join the conversation. You know the number here is 516-531-9861. That's 516-531-9861. For you folks that are on the internet listening to it, you're listening to the TGMS, our 50th show anniversary. We've made it to 50 shows. Wow. Don't seem like it's been that many, but it has. We'll be right back. Here's Lige and DOA.
Hey, D. OA. Man, nobody want to do the funk no more, man. But I ain't scared. Are you? Nah. We don't hit him like this, D.
Welcome back to the TMGS. That's Elijah Baker and Derek DOA Allen, Funk. If you get a chance to YouTube and check out the video, it's great. It's a great video with a mixture of James Brown and Prince, Larry Graham, Verdine White, all these awesome guitar players and bass players. And it's really great how they put it all together right in beat. Love that song. Plus, they have another new track that's coming out shortly. But, yeah, that's that funk right there. All right, so we're back. Let's see here. Wow, it's 7:30 already? Mm-hmm. Time flies. What was our next topic? Let me see here. Let me try to pull that up.
I don't know why my phone is acting crazy. I should have pulled it up on my laptop, but I got the show on this one, on this screen, and something's wrong with my desktop. So let me try my phone again. here we go. Bear with me, you guys. Let's see. So what is this, just real quick in this this deal that Biden's trying to do, just a little bit of politics here. So Biden is trying to get he's trying to pass, or he's trying to get the Republicans to go along with this infrastructure plan, correct?
Right.
Okay, so at one point, something trillion, they only want to give him $800 billion. But now I understand that they're going to do what?
It's $2.3 trillion he wants the infrastructure bill to be, but the Republicans sent out $268 billion. That's just like a drop in a dime compared to what Biden wants for the infrastructure. You know, and everybody, and so I think that they're going to try and get rid of that filibuster, because that's the only way they're going to be able to get anything through the Senate and the House without obstruction.
Okay. Right. Anybody else want to chime in on that?
Well, the now Joe Manchin needs to stop, because after what happened with the insurrection, by not getting the commission, they've already told you, we're not working with you guys. Okay?
Right.
If I can't get you to get these dudes on the insurrection to do a commission, well, how am I going to get you to do what I need you to do on infrastructure?
That's right.
Because they know if we go down the road, it leads to the wizard. They don't want the orange wizard to go down, because they're all connected to them, and it will expose every last one of them in the crap that they did.
And they think this is increasing their chances to be to gain the House and the Senate back.
But they can't. Well, that's why they don't want him. They don't. If Joe Manchin, the filibuster needs to go. Because Joe, we got to work. We got to reach across the aisle. They're not going to work with you. They've already told you. If I will look that man's mother in the eye and flat out tell her, "Yeah, ma'am, I know they killed your husband. I killed your son. But guess what? I got more to worry about my constituency to keep my job. So I'm not going to go against and not going to spill my guts. Yeah, you telling the truth." And yes, I know I did some dirt, but I'm not giving it up. And Miss McConnell wouldn't even meet with her.
Now I got a hand up, and I'm going to open up their mic. Their mic is open now, and it is the lovely, the one and only Denise L. Wilkerson. How you doing, my sister? Happy Saturday.
Oh, Mr. Michael Gay and family. How's everybody doing tonight on the
weekend?
Hey. I hear the queen. and the king. I hear the whole court. Listen, I am so happy to have a chance to, like, dip in with you guys a little bit tonight. My apologies for the past couple of weeks. We got so much stuff going on with Ladies of Sky right now. It's ridiculous. But Mr. Michael Gay?
Yes, ma'am.
You know I love you to the ends of the earth, sweetheart. And I am so happy to hear your voice. And that funk you're playing now. Hold on. I'm so sorry, but I'm so happy that I got on here in the middle of that funk stuff. You was describing it as everything, and then you finally said the funk, and I was like, yes, baby, that's exactly what that is, okay?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I love it. They got some stuff coming. I was fortunate to hear their next.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
I can't wait. Everybody's in the laboratory. You know, all the musicians are all the musicians are in the laboratory, and even among, you know, my a lot of people up here in New York and New Jersey, tri-state area, everybody's coming with new music, man. Everybody's been in the laboratory working in spite of the little, you know, glimmer of a window that we're starting to see. Live concerts are coming back, you know. I'm not there yet, but yeah, the cultural scene is thriving. So and certainly, as you guys are saying, the political scene is always a hotbed.
we could go
on and on with what them folks is doing, you know what I'm saying? Because they're not really. Yeah, man, they're you know, whatever is on their minds is not for truly the benefit of the people, you know, at large.
Right.
And I don't know why, you know, even the concept of infrastructure in and of itself requires, you know, attention.
Mm-hmm.
Because especially as we start to open up, you know, and as we all start to get, you know, business starts to start driving back up and ramping back up. How
mm-hmm.
are things going to get where they have to go if you're not paying attention to the roadways that, you mm-hmm. know, that bring things to the public? And
right.
it just is an indication of these people's lack of real concern for the needs of the people. And it's kind of simple. It doesn't require rocket science, but you know, they want to control the dollars. They want to control your mind. They want to control the direction of things. And, you know, it's just, from my perspective, a very sad state of affairs
mm-hmm.
when you can't even counter with something that's useful. You know, I just heard Janet say two something billion. If somebody's proposing $2 trillion, you know, in any negotiation, you know, you come back with something that makes sense, you know, something reasonable.
Yes.
But right, Janet, I knew where
yes.
you were going with that. You know, when you said
right.
$2 something billion, you're not even getting nowhere near the number. So if $2 trillion is out of the ballpark, then come on, let's come back down to at least half of that. You know, you counter with at least half. You don't count.
Well, I think they're supposed to be trying to negotiate it, and Biden was saying that he's hoping that they'll come back by Tuesday with where they're negotiating, and like you said, you know, kind of meet in the middle. But real quick,
yeah.
as you were saying, the Lady Disguise have been really busy, which I know I've seen where you guys have been doing interviews after interview, but you guys are about to release a single coming up June, right?
Yes, June 7th, we are so excited. We're about to release a single called Love at First Sight. Come on, folks, y'all remember that. Well, you know what? You don't even have to be young to have love at first sight. You can even be, you know,
right.
a more mature person and look at that face and say, wait a minute now, that's the one, you know. But, yeah, that's the theme of the song is love at first sight. And Michael, I'm so excited because this is the first song that my husband Austin and I have co-written together. This is major for us. We were invited to join this project by a French duo called AP Connection, and they have brought in Joyce Sims, the brother that made So Fine, Blew My Mind. They've got about 6 or 7 American artists that they have collaborated with on this 16-song album. The album is called Wide Vision. And
okay.
if you go on a-pconnections.com website, AP Connection, is it Connection or Connections? I'll have to, you know, just make sure whether the S is there or not. I'm not sure. They're
mm-hmm.
doing pre-sales of the album, but it's 16 songs. And I'm telling you, everybody that wrote on it brought it. And what's the catch? The Ladies of Sky are singing on Love at First Sight, right? Who else would we have do it? So so we're really proud of this song. And, yeah, I can't wait to get it out there. It's officially released on June 7th.
Okay. We'll have to look for it. So you guys know, you got to get Time in the Book, and you got to get The Ladies of Skies, Love at First Sight. Those are the two things you have to get.
There you go. Absolutely get Time in the Book now. Don't be playing around. Get Time in the Book, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you.
You can play Love at First Sight in the background while you're reading. There you go.
Yeah, there you go.
Not a bad idea. All right, so we got about 20 minutes left in the show, and right now I just want to keep it like an open forum. We can go back into what we were discussing. It's just an open forum. Anybody have anything you want to bring up? Go right ahead. That we can discuss. And again, this is our 50th show. 50 shows. That's hard to believe. Since we've been the Jay King Network. But Janet, as you said, we've done over 400 shows, right?
Yes, yes. Well, if you count Maestro Mike Live and count the Cool Critics and then the Michael Gay Show, it's been a long ride, but it's been a great ride.
Yeah, it really has. Hmm.
And I've been with you from the very beginning.
Yep, that is very true. Wow. That's very true. And when I think back to, I mean, I got to be honest, you guys, I mean, I'm just really blessed to have so many great guests. Hard to believe. Wow. I'm just thinking back. And great co-hosts. I was going to say that next. And great co-hosts over the years. So, this may be our last show. There are some things that I got to take care of, and I don't want to stop doing the show, but you know, sometimes you things make you force your hand. So I don't know. This may be the last, and if so, I really want to thank you guys.
Oh,
I'm glad
Michael,
I don't have live stream. Hey, I'm
Michael,
glad I don't have live stream.
let me tell you something. Let me say this, Michael. You have shown incredible strength, courage, power, and every effort that you could have possibly made for the Michael Gay Show. I have enjoyed very much working with you and Janet and every other co-host, every other individual that you have had. Your knowledge of music, by Ty Asia, my little grandniece is leaving. I have learned so much from you. In terms of artists, there are very few individuals that I have met that is so knowledgeable about musicians and entertainment, the entertainment industry in general, as well as the political arena. You have covered a wide variety of topics since I have joined you guys on the show. And to me, from my perspective, you've always had an excellent and amazing crew of individuals working next to you, and you've assembled that. That is all you as an amazing leader. And so I know that at this point, you know, trying to find the words to describe what may be the last show right now, but I know that you're going to rise again, sir. And I just want you to know that I really have appreciated the forum that you've given me to join you guys as a co-hostess. It has been an honor, and I don't think it's over.
Thank you very much.
I don't feel like it's
when,
over.
When you agreed to join us, I was like, "What?" I was so
what
excited. Still excited. I'm still excited. I was like, you know,
it was a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer because you again, because of the people that you have assembled, you know what I'm saying? The people that you have on the show. Hey, let me say this. It's real people. you know, not one person that you have had as a co-host on your show. Everybody's real. Everybody's from the heart, you know, and that means a lot. And that is lacking from my perspective on many other shows of a similar type. You know, the honesty and the loving and the camaraderie is non-existent in other places. And so, you know, I just want to say to you, while this may be the last show, like they say, you're going to say, you might, don't say goodbye, say so long, because I really feel that we're all going to be sitting. I know I will, Janet. Janet, you're going to be waiting on the side with me, girl, holding hands, waiting for this man to, you know, regroup.
Yes.
Hey, I got another hand waving. Let me open up this mic real quick. 346-274. I believe this is Cotton Campbell. What's happening, Cotton?
Well, hello, everybody. Well,
hey, Cotton.
Hey.
Hey, Cotton.
You know we're not going to let Michael make this the last show. I don't know. He's talking gibberish. Just act like he.
I know.
You've been
crazy,
taking my
medication.
Right? Michael, you took my medication? Did you take any of my medication? You took
them? No, I didn't.
It's cool. We're not getting. You know, I understand that you might think it's your last show, sweetie, but it's not.
Say it again.
Let's pray on it. That's for sure.
No, I prayed on it already. I already prayed on it. I prayed on it already.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Another hand wave. Let me open up this mic. 678-532. Your mic is open.
Hello?
678-532. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, your mic is open.
Hello, Mike?
Yeah, this is Mike. Hey.
Yeah, Mike, this is Cindy.
Hey, how you doing?
Yeah. Good. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in here. Thank you for calling in. Yeah, I miss you, too. I miss you, guys.
Yep. But I mainly called to wish happy 5th anniversary show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. It just don't feel like it.
I enjoy every show, and I really enjoy tonight hearing everybody, you know. I hope this isn't your last.
By the way, you guys, this is our biggest fan, to be honest. She don't call in all the time, but she would tell me all the time, oh, I love the show Saturday. And she would tell me all the time, and she could tell me exactly who was on and what we talked about. But this is our biggest fan.
Oh, my Lord, I got to watch this because I listened to the show last week, and I was going to call in, but something distracted me. I don't know what it was. And I said today, I said, I'm going to call. I don't care what it takes, and I've already tried twice, so I made it. It's good hearing everybody's voice, you know, all these callers that are calling in. It's great. It's great. It really is great.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you. Cindy,
well,
did you hear that
have
first?
A good night, and hope to see you again soon, Mike.
All right. Officer Crenshaw said hello.
Hello. Hey, how you doing?
I'm good.
Haven't seen
you
in a while.
We'll see each other.
Okay. Gotcha.
Bringing it boy says congratulations of making your 50th episode. Thank you, Bringing it boy. We got another hand wave, and I know who this is. Another Californian. Let me see her mic. Oh, Andrea James. Happy Saturday. How are you?
I am fabulous. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing good.
I am so excited to be part or just listening, be a fly on the wall here in California. I've met some fabulous people through listening to the Michael Gay Show over the last couple of years. I've had a wonderful opportunity to be a guest on his show, and I think he's peeked in on my show, too, on Tuesday mornings, Today's Entrepreneur. However, I know that sometimes when things happen. We had to step back and regroup. I had to do that too with Today's Entrepreneur. When I first started my show about 5 years ago, I was doing it and getting it traction, and something happened. I had to put it on hiatus. However, I just this past February, I celebrated a year back in the seat of Today's Entrepreneur. So I'm going to say the same thing for Michael Gay. I had even presented an opportunity for him, and he didn't bite at that time. But who knows? Michael is leaving the door open for everyone that's here. So everyone that hears our voices today, we keep Michael Gay in prayer. And he's going to come back even more forceful than ever, even if I have to come to Atlanta to make sure that that happens to him. And when we do step back, it's all for a change. The step back is a setup for a comeback, and it's going to be even more forceful than ever. And so, again, Officer Crenshaw and the other guests that I've co-host, Michael, you have an award-winning show. And I predict that even come back, put it on iHeartRadio. However you come back strong. And again, I'm going to be your friend on air as well as off the air. You can't get rid of me. Don't even try. Love you much from California. And we will see everybody that's in listening voice or listening on my voice. We will see you where? At the top, not from the top. Thank you, Michael.
All right.
Amen.
Thank you. I love you. Appreciate you.
Now.
Yeah. Well,
that was heavy.
That was.
Michael, I want to ask you a question.
So far,
what has been the most rewarding thing about you doing the Michael Gay Show? What is the most rewarding part of you doing this show has been?
You guys. Every last one of you. Seriously, who gets folks to come and join you to talk for 2 hours almost every Saturday? You know, that's what's really rewarding. And like I said, to have a crew like this, Lady of the Sky, Officer Crenshaw, Bernie, you know, and there's been other co-hosts. Of course, there's Cotton. There was Cynthia Lee Smith. There was Dr. McCabe. Dr. McCabe has been here. It's just been rewarding having all these different personalities. You know what I mean? And different people from different backgrounds come and share.
And Timon,
which is the newest. Who's been the newest? You know, just the different. The different personalities, and Timon being the guy he is, who crack us up, and then knows what he's talking about when we get into the politics and stuff. That's been the most rewarding thing I have said, just having just this wide variety of personalities to come together each Saturday. It's just been so rewarding. It really has. So that's pretty much it.
Go ahead, baby.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, one thing he has to know is that he's the little engine that makes it all go. You got to know that I know, speaking for myself, and I'm sure almost everybody that's, been a part of your show, we just admire you, and we want to be there for you. So, that's why we're here today. And like most of people say, it's not the end. It's only the end of this beginning. That's all.
Thank you, Bernie.
Mike.
Yes, sir.
You've made history. And you'll continue to make history The only way history stops is when you ignore it. You can't ignore your destiny. This is what you do. So it will continue. It's not going to stop.
That's right.
And Mike?
Mike? Yes, sir.
Luke, I am your father. No,
Hey, you guys. The force is strong with this one. Go ahead, Pat.
Mike, all you got to do is put your game plan together, baby. Put your game plan together. This ain't nothing but, you know, when you got, you take your bike and you put the kickstand down. It's just a thing until you get back on and start riding.
I love
you
it.
Kickstand up and jump back on it. Yeah. You know, just
I
take a little
it.
Break. Mike, I ain't did stand. Mike, my first show for stand-up is tonight. I haven't been on stage in I don't know how long. I've been doing Zoom comedy. And a friend of mine, only reason why it happened, a friend of mine said to me, hey, man, you going to go back on stage? And I hadn't even thought about it. He said, hey, man, you going to get back into acting? What did I do? I sat at home. I took out my old notebook, pulled out pens and paper, and I put a game plan together to make everything happen again. All you got to do is, you know, you weigh the pros and the cons, and you put your game plan, you definitely put your game plan together, you know. And next year you step back out there. You ain't no new booty. So when you come back in, you're a vet. You're a veteran. You got 50 shows under your belt.
That's
like
right.
You're just starting out.
On your
50
own
shows.
Network.
Well, now what Janet say, 400? You got 400 shows.
If you add
yep.
them, that's
so,
just on your
yeah, man,
own.
You know, you just
right.
do what you got to do and then regroup. Put your game plan back together. And hey, everybody gonna be around, and you can gather
right
everybody
here.
Right
we
back
going,
up.
We ain't
just,
going
you
nowhere.
We ain't going
man.
Nowhere.
That's
right.
Going
put
nowhere.
Your plan together, man. Because I ain't coming to Atlanta to grab you, Mike. I'm not gonna come to Atlanta to grab you. I may hire some people to come see you, but I ain't grabbing out there. But
you guys,
you know, I'm saying that, dude. That's all you got to do, and you'll be good to go.
All right.
You got a very
hey,
one
got,
thing about
I
it, you got a hell of a support group.
Yeah, definitely.
You got a hell of a support
I got
group.
60 seconds. I got 60 seconds.
Go ahead.
The little voice tells me, you guys can't hear her. She's like,
60 seconds.
You know, so she tells me that. Again, I want to thank you guys. I love you all. And, yeah, it's like you said, it's not a goodbye. It's a... So long for now.
So long for now. Yeah.
We'll definitely work on it.
So long for now.
All right. Thank you, guys. God bless. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And we're going to get out of here. Joe Foxworth, thank you for this track called Conversation Piece. And we've had some great conversations. You guys, I love you. Goodbye.
All right.
We love you. I love all of y'all.